Okay, let us begin again. Today's shir is on Zecher Nishmas Moshe Yechezkel ben Yehoshua. Yesterday on Kuf Chaf Aleph and Mabez, towards the end, we ran through a couple lines of Gemara that spoke about killing dangerous animals on Shabbos. So just to summarize that for a minute, Lamaisa. Actually, let's do two more lines and then we'll summarize it because we have two more lines left. Says the Gemara about five lines up from the bottom, Kuf Chaf Aleph and Mabez. Abba Bar Marsa, that's what we're up to. The Gemara had just said, are you allowed to kill these animals on Shabbos? And one of the Amorim said, yes, I kill wasps, so surely Nechashim HaGrabim. The Gemara said, maybe that's not true. Maybe they do it lefitumo. They don't do it directly, bop them on the head, but maybe they just, as they're walking, they don't go out of their way to avoid trampling on these animals. And Rashi explains, somehow that's a Dover She'en HaMiskavim. So therefore, it would be mutter according to us, and maybe even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rashi explains it would be mutter, though he usually holds asami de rabbanan in this type of case where there's a dangerous animal. Even he might hold its mutter. So four lines from the bottom. Abba bar Masa to Havi Abba bar Minyomi Havi Maski be de be Reish Galusa. This man Abba bar Masa owed money to the Reish Galusa Zuze. He owed money. I see Yuha. They brought him in front of the Reish Galusa. Come at Sarile. They were giving him tsaris because he didn't pay. He hadn't paid back the money. Havishadi Roko, all of a sudden they noticed some saliva on the ground next to where they were torturing him. Amar Reish Galusa, Aisu Mani Schifor Leve, bring a rag to put over the saliva. Amar Lo Tzarichtu. So he said, Abba Bar Marsa says to them, no, you don't have to bring a rag. Hachim Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, there's an easier way. Rok Dorsa Lefitumo. Right, roke, if you have saliva, dursa, just step on it as you're walking. And it's not cold. As Rashi says, the potential here would be a problem of smoothing. Right, where's the Rashi here? Where is it? The Rashi? Right, the last line. Roke would... Right, but b'meila m'mareachu, ki lo m'chavin shari misha m'isusa, even though it could be m'mareach, but it's mutu dars l'fitubo, so that's what he suggests. So Amar Lahu, so they all of a sudden they say to him, wow, serve me rabbananu, shafkua. Oh, he's a rabbi, stop being mitzar him. And therefore they stopped. First to point out, just because he knew there's one halacha, all of a sudden they think he's a big talmud chacham, but that's the story. So Lamaisa, what are you allowed to do with dangerous animals on Shabbos? They would think it's a good question. Do they think he was going to pay the money back on Shabbos? So maybe they were doing this just that he would pay back after Shabbos, something like that. They were roughing him up. Okay, so it says the Shulchan Aruch in Shin Tes Zayin, Kol Chayav Aremes Shehim No Shchinim Amisin Badai. Any animal that is for sure dangerous and is for sure on his way to attack, there's no Shiloh. Now, this is just a summary of, we put it together, everything that we've spoken about in the past couple lines. If you have a dangerous, if you have a poisonous animal in your vicinity, you don't have to wait for it to be about to attack. You're allowed to go and get rid of it, even if it's not running after you. Again, that's something bikuach nefesh. So that's why it's mutter according to everybody. Vishar mazikin, what if they're just going to be mazik you? They're going to cause you pain. They're going to cause you discomfort. So in a place where they don't cause life-threatening danger, so that happens a lot, right? Let's say bee stings or wasp stings in a sukkah comes up all the time. So, A, if you're able to semi-trap it, and it's going to be out of your sukkah and you can help, like let's say bees are always going to come back, but sometimes wasps or some other animals or something else, you could just like put between two cups, leave a tiny drop of space, and then take it outside, and that would be the best thing. But if you can, so what if the issue is to kill them or not? It says the Shulchan Aruch, in a place where they are just mazik, so in a place, if they're not running after you, sorry, the other way, im ratzen acharav, im they're running after you, so mortal hargam. So you even allowed to kill them then, even though it's not a life-threatening danger. But again, that's why is that mutter, mutzal hargam. If they're near you and they're near your kid and you don't want to, you know, even if your kid is not allergic to bee stings, then it might be a savi pikuach nefesh, because if somebody's allergic to bee stings, they don't have the proper medicine, that it could lead to more serious situations. But if they're there and they're very close, mutzal hargam, because that is at most of it is a drabanan, a malach hashem esrich legufa according to what we paskin, and b'makom. Tsar Gavro, you're allowed to get rid of them. They am lav, but if they're not bothering you, you know, you're inside the sukkah and there are a bunch of bees outside the sukkah and they're not bothering you, then usur. So then it's still a Isidra Banan, and you're doing, but still, we don't consider this a situation where there will be musr. But but eat in this situation, this is the maskara from our Gemara, even if they're not rasanacharecha, even if they're not about to attack you, they're outside, but if one of them is on towards the floor and you happen to step on them as you're walking, you don't have to not step on them, you don't have to walk around in order to avoid it. Because that would be mutter, that's called darso lefi tumo. Okay, so that is just a little summary of the last couple of lines, how to deal with these animals on Shabbos. So now we're up to the second to last line. Amar Abba Bar Kahana, Amar Rabbi Chanina, because we have this man mentioned a couple of lines ago. He was the one that related the story about a snake falling into the Beis Medrash and they killed it, and they didn't know if when Rabbi got up and said the statement, they didn't know if it was a compliment or an insult. That was yesterday. So because we quoted this man, so we quoted another couple of lines of his, even though it doesn't have anything to do with what we've been talking about. The pamotos, the lamps, the menorahs of the house of Rebbe, you're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. They're not muksa. Reb Zeira asked, are we talking about the ones that you could take with one hand, or the ones that you need two hands for? Like the ones like from your father's house, the way Rashi explains here, only the small ones. But the big ones, the language of Rashi is Adam Koveya Lahem Makom. A person sets them in place. If you remember back about 60 blot ago, we had this concept of Koveya Lo Makom, that if you set a large object into place on Shabbos, that could be Bona, that could be other issues that come up. So that's why you're only allowed to take the small ones. Okay. Rabbi Abba Barkana, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Koronos shall be Rabbi Murtel Tatal Mashabbos. Again, a muksa issue, which, by the way, the next parak is all about muksa. The wagons of base Rebbe, you're allowed to be metatal on Shabbos. Okay, these are types of wagons that people used to sit in. Again, the small ones are the big ones, the ones that one person could carry, or you need two people. Again, all the ones like your father's house, the small ones. And finally, Amar Rabbi Abba Barkana, third statement. Rabbi Al-Rakhana related that Rabbi Chanina allowed Beis Rebbe to drink wine that was brought by non-Jewish messengers, by the wagons of non-Jews. He allowed you to drink the wine that was brought, b'chosam echad. Even only you only had one chosam, one signet, one thing that closed off the wine that reflected that the non-Jew didn't touch it. Again, what's the background for this? We know there's a halacha called Yayin Nesach / Stam Yena. The olden days when the non-Jewish idol worshippers used to use wine in their libations for their Avodah Zara. That's Mamish Yayin Nesach, and that's Asur Midaraisa, the Hana'a. But after that, there are Gzeiros D'Rabbanan of non-Jews doing anything with even touching, even moving our wine, or their wine, and if we're not sure, and we just know, even if they touched it, the halacha lemaisa is, midrabanan, if a non-Jew moves or touches a open bottle of wine, it's aser, and there's even more chumras. Let's say you don't know if they did. Let's say you left a bottle of wine in your fridge, and the non-Jewish maid was in the house by herself, and then you come home and you realize it, you got to throw the bottle out. That's the halacha. That's the various halachas which we're not going to get to. Yeah, the big heter of this is Yayin Mavushal. The whole heter based on the Gemara already. The Gemara already mentions, for whatever reason, this halacha does not apply to Yayin Mavushal. Either they didn't use Mavushal, it was never included in the Gzeira, it loses its shame Yayin somewhat. But either way, it doesn't apply to Yayin Mavushal, which, by the way, last Shabbos, somebody had pointed out to me, it's true, you got to be careful, because by the Kedem grape juices, the plastic bottles are Mavushal, the glass bottles are not Mavushal. I don't know why that is, but that's the case. Like on the big, fat glass bottles of Kedem grape juice, it says not Mavushal on the side. Got to be very careful. Don't buy those. It's better not to buy those. Some people are Makba. The Rambam says you can't be Yotzei Kiddush with Yayin Mavushal. Okay, so if you want to be Makba for the Rambam, so then you got to be very careful. You got to buy a safe to keep your wine in at home, or just lock it up in a special wine chest, etc. Some people are makpid Pesach night to use non-mavushal wine. Either way, if you want to be makpid for that lechatchila, fine, wonderful. But you just got to either finish the bottle every time you use it, or just take precautions that it won't be left in a house where a non-Jewish worker can get to it. Anyway, so getting back to this, there are different halachas about one chosam on it, two chosamos, how much guard do you have to have? What if it has a cork and a thing on top, like a silver foil with the thing that would be called two chosamos? So here, the story is quoted there. Rabbi Chanina allowed Rebbe to drink the wine that was brought on the Kodesh HaNachri with one chosam. But lo yadana, the Gemara just knows, we don't know why he allowed this, why he had this heter. Imishim desav al Rabbi Eliezer. Is it because he had like Rabbi Eliezer, who Rashi here quotes that allows with chosam echad, not exactly chosam echad, but about chosam echad. Imishum aims to the Benesia, or do we assume that because base Rebbe were very chash of people that the non-Jewish messengers would be scared to do anything, and therefore that's why in this type of case one chosam would be good enough. Okay, those are three statements that had to do that were said by the same person, and that's why they were brought here. Now we go to the next Mishnah, which, again, every Mishnah so far in this parak dealt with what to do with the Bayadleika, what the beginning of the parak called Kiste, what do you do with Svarim, how many Svarim are you allowed to save from a Dleika, what about food, what about clothing, how do you put out a fire, right? That's all what all parak called Kiste is about. The last Mishnah spoke about also, you're allowed to put a Ka'ara Agabi Haner, and you're allowed to other preventative measures. That's how we got into that, because we were talking about preventing a fire from spreading. So we got into other preventative measures. So now we get into, we also spoke about a Nachri putting out a fire. That was on the top of the previous Amud. So we continue talking about halachos of a Nachri doing work for a Jew on Shabbos. Okay, this is one of the big Gemaras, today's first Amud, about Amira La'akov on Shabbos. Remember, yesterday we gave four different Svaras in the Rishonim, Rashi, and the Rambam, and the Smag, and the Rashi and Avodah Zarah, four different opinions, Svaras, what the Svar is for Amira La'akov, right? Rov Rishonim, Ruba Deruba, hold that it's a Nisa Derabanan. We saw that Smag, that said maybe it's a Daraisa, but most either do not accept the Smag, or even the Smag didn't really mean it, even though he says the word Daraisa. Okay, says the Mishnah. Nachri Shidlikas Aner, Mishnah Mishnah Ori Yisrael, if a non-Jew lights a candle on Shabbos, i.e., for himself, Mishtamish to over Yisrael, a Jew is allowed to benefit from that candle as well. V'imbishvil Yisrael, but if a non-Jew does it for the Jew, usser, you're not allowed to get benefit. Not only is Amir La'akam usser on Shabbos, you can't tell a non-Jew to do a malach of you on Shabbos, but even if the non-Jew does it for you without you telling him, but it was obviously done for you, it is also usser. Mila Mayim Lashes Behemto, the Mishnah gives three examples. Candle, Mila Mayim Lashes Behemto, if he gets water, Rashi explains, from a bor, which is a Rosh Hashayachid. He brings it up to the Rosh Hashayachid to give water to his animal. Mashka Achra Yisrael. So a Jew is allowed to use the leftovers to give water to his own animal. Vim Bishvil Yisrael Aser. Again, if the non-Jew did it for the Jew, then that would be Aser. Three, Aser Nachri Kevish Leiri boat. Let's say the Nachri and the Jews are on a boat, and the Nachri builds a plank to go over to the land. So that's also in Isser and Shabbos. It's unclear exactly what the malacha is. I didn't see anybody specifically talk about what exactly is the malacha being done here by the Kevish. I assume it's like Bona, or Makam Apatish, or is it, I don't think it's a Tchum issue, because then that's you're not doing anything. But, I'm sorry, why? Is it Ohel? Is it Ohel? Is it so wide? Again, I'm not 100% sure. Again, if you see any of your Makoros there, I guess all of you have the same safer. But let me know if there's anything clear about which malacha is being done. I assume it's like Bona. Asa Nachri Kevish Leirei Bo Yored Achrav Yisrael. If he builds a ramp, then a Jew is allowed to, if he builds a ramp for himself, a Jew is allowed to go down. If Bishvah Yisrael Aser. And again, if he does it for the Jew, it's Aser. Maaseh Rogamliel Hazakin Vizakein Vizakein Shayvon Vasvina. The story with Rogamliel and the elders were on a boat. Asa Nachri Kevish Leirei Bo, and the Nachri made it for himself. The Yardu Bo Rogamliel Vizakeinim. And Rogamliel and the Zakein and went down, right? Maisa Rav to show that it is mutter. I'm not sure what the issue of building the kevish. Walking up the ship itself is a separate tchum issue, but let's say they were docked before Shabbos, forgetting that issue. But the asiyas kevish seems to be what's the issue here. Okay, two points of the Mishnah. The Ritva here notes, based on the Ramban earlier, his grand Rebbe, but the Ritva here notes, he has a question. He says, why? Okay, forgetting the Amir La'akam issue. Okay, do it for a Jew, do it for a guy. But why isn't there an issue of Nolad here? If he lights a candle for himself. That candle wasn't there before Shabbos. That's a new Bria on Shabbos. So why isn't it Nolad or Muksa? Or even the Kevesh, he says. He says, V'kashalog, I've never Kevesh. Hech Mishamish Ben Yisrael. To a Nolad Gomer Ninhu. Or we're going to see in the Gemara in a couple of lines. If the Nachri rips up grass for his own animal, right, then you could again eat the leftovers. Why isn't that Nolad / Muksa? It's a new Bria. So there's no Amir Lachim. He did it for himself. What about Nolad or Muksa? So says the Ritva, a Kiddush that we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, on Daf Chavtes from the Rashba. The Ritva notes here, Muksa or Nolad is not usher to use. It's only usher to move or to... or to eat or to drink. What are you not allowed to do to muksa? Again, we're going to get into a lot of muksa in the next parak. You're not allowed to move muksa. You're not allowed to eat. Right? Beitza shenola. Beitza shenola. We spoke about it a little bit yesterday. Right? Anything you're not allowed to eat it or drink it or move it. But going over to a car and putting your finger on it. Right? Right, that's not, I mean, you know, well, I don't know why you would want to do that, but that's not, there's no muksa, there's no isser of negias muksa. So too says the Ritva, also the Rashba, also says it earlier, there's no issue of hishtamshus for muksa. Those of you using muksa, you're walking on the kavish, you're not moving it, the kavish is not moving. The candle, you're allowed to move, use the candle, right? So that's why the Ritva says there is no issue of nolad. Based on this idea, says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham, let's say you're outside somewhere and there's this big rock or a stone that you want to sit on. You want to just relax. Let's say you take it to Tiyul Shabbos the afternoon in Eretz Yisrael. You want to sit on a rock. So says the Mishnah Berurah, quoting the Magen Avraham, it's mutter. Aye, the rock is muksa, muksa machmas gufo. It has no use. You didn't prepare it before Shabbos. What do you mean? You're not moving it. You're using it. And if it's a small stone that's going to get moved by you sitting on it, then it's a problem. But says the Magen Avraham, the Mishnah Berurah quotes it, Mutter, you're allowed to sit on that, let it sit on that rock. Comes Rabbi Akiva Eiger and says, maybe it's not so simple. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says, maybe there's a difference between sitting on the rock and, let's say, using the candle. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, there's a difference between Hana'a and Hishtamshus. You're allowed to benefit from Muksa. That's not an Isser. You're allowed to put what do we do? Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles are dafka, you have to have Hana'a from them. Yeah, you're supposed to light Shabbos candles in the place where you eat. Right, if they're not where you eat, then you might not be yotze in the full way. You're missing the oneg. So says the Reb Akiva Eiger, you're allowed to get hanah from muksa, but there's a difference with hishtamshus b'muksa. Using muksa, that's a higher level. When you're sitting on the rock, that's more than hanah. That's hishtamshus b'gufo. Reb Akiva Eiger says the Rishonim never meant to matter that. The Rashba seems to say like he says, but again, that's a machlokas between the Magen Avraham and Reb Akiva Eiger whether that type of case, sitting on the rock, would be mutter, because is it only benefit from muksa is okay? But, or is even hishtamshus b'muksa okay? Again, as long as it is not moved. Most of the time when we're mishtamish muksa, we use it. But, because hishtamshus means b'gufo. But, if you have this type of case where there is hishtamshus, but there's no negi, there's no movement, that's a machlokes achronim. Okay, so that is one ha'ara on the Mishnah, why it's not an issue of nolad or muksa. It's important tosfas here as well. Tosfos in Bishvil Yisrael Aser. Tosfos, first half of Tosfos notes that if it's the guy does malacha for a Jew, important very halacha l'maisa, if does malacha for a Jew, it's Aser for any Jew. Not just for the Jew it was done for. Let's say if a guy did malacha for, if a non-Jewish cleaning lady did malacha for Reuven, so then Reuven can't, Reuven's going to call Shimon. At least you can use this. Right, so if he turns on a light for him in the room, right, she sees I'm sitting in the room and it's all dark, and she comes over and flicks the light on for me, guess what? I have to leave the room. I'm not allowed to get benefit from that light. Right, so, but I can call my friends. That's also not. It's also for any Jew. Nira the also the Chol Yisrael. The Dafka B'chus L'tchum D'Rabbanon, etc. But by Yisrael D'Araisa Kihacha, lo. That's the first half of Tosfos. Then, the second half of Tosfos is also very important, Halacha L'maisa. Tosfos says, why is the, what, how do you compare this Mishnah to the previous Mishnah? See the second half of Tosfos? V'lo dami l'had d'amar l'el nachri shabal l'chavos. When a nachri yesterday came to extinguish the fire, you don't tell him, kabeva al techabeh, he's putting out your fire for you. But you don't have to tell him al techabeh. Why not? And here, if he does it for you, it's usher. So what's the difference between the dleika yesterday where it was mutter for him to do it for you? You just can't tell him to do it. But if he's doing for it, so what's the difference? So says Tosfos, the chiyam rina nachri adai to the nafshi ka'abid. When do we say that nachri is doing it for himself? Hanimi the vechibi vechayotze bo she'en yisol nen abamaisa nachri. Over there, there's no direct benefit by the Jew. The nachri puts out the fire. Memela, he has removed a dangerous, damaging situation, and therefore it is mutter for him to do that. Here, if a nachri lights a candle for you, he builds a ramp for you, that's direct tana. You don't say a dadi d'nafshi of it, and therefore that is usher. So what is Tosfos say? That there's a chiluk when a non-Jew does malacha, direct tana given to the Jew or non-direct tana. So what does this come up? So if you look at the Shmir Shabbos, Perek Lamed, Os Lamed Vav, quotes this Tosfos. It's quoted in Halacha L'maisa. And what are examples of this? This is also quoted, the sanctity of Shabbos. This is the art scroll sefer all about Amir L'Akam. It's radiance, sanctity, Shabbos kitchen, Shabbos home. Sanctity is all about Amir L'Akam. So what are examples of this? Turning off a light so you could go to sleep. Turning on a light for you, that's considered direct hana'ah. Oh, he's turning on the light and I can now read. I can now benefit. That's called direct hana'ah, and therefore it's usur to tell a non-Jew to turn a light on for you on Shabbos. If it's in a shul and it's tzarchei tzibur, and okay, there are different heterim, but in Yistam, in your own house, and you want to have your light on in your living room, so then that's usur, because that is direct. If he doesn't, even if you don't ask, if they know that you want this, that's called direct hana'ah and it's usur. But let's say you want to go to sleep. So turning off a light, the poskim seem to say, is indirect. They are just removing the nuisance that is not letting you go to sleep. They're removing, like just like removing the fire in the last mishnah. They're removing the light, right? Removing the light, and therefore, b'meila tzark, and now you can go to sleep. That is not called direct hana'ah. That's called indirect. That's based on this tosos. Okay, it gets into the philosophical question whether you know darkness is just the absence of light or it's a bria b'fnei atzma. You know, the Rishonim in Parshas Bereishis discuss it that yehi or. So what? It doesn't say yehi choshech. It doesn't say yehi or when there's a lack of or. But okay, we're not going to get into that now. But anyway, that is an important point. The Tosfos, direct and indirect. So again, you have to look at every case. Most things are called direct hana'ah. But if you have a case where it's just removing a situation that is uncomfortable, so then that would be mutter. Yeah. Yeah, it would be mutter in this case. Yes, if it's the light was left on in the room and you can't sleep, so then we paskin that a non-Jew can turn the light off so you can go to sleep. So again, hinting, I'm saying hinting, it might be better to hint in that case, meaning I really want to go to sleep. But again, a lot of the times, Amir L'Akam is very complicated. If the light is off, you have to turn it on. You can't, many think that hinting matters everything. It's not true. If they're doing it for you, then most of the time, you know, it's still going to be asur, even if you just hint. You know, hinting, could there are various reasons, as we mentioned yesterday, why Amir L'Akam is usur. If the issue is dabra-dabra, like Rashi says, like your speech should be different on Shabbos, like Rashi Avodah Zarah, then the hinting might help. But the other issues are, the Rashi says shlichus, he's like your shliach, the Rambam says you might come to do it yourself, all those reasons don't make a difference, whether it's hinted or said directly. So there are certain cases where hinting would help, but most of the time, if they're doing it for you, and even if you don't say it directly, you know, and it's direct hana'ah, then it would still be usur. Okay. Vitzricha. So now let's get back to the Gemara. So why did the Mishnah have to quote all three cases, all three examples of a nachri lighting a candle and filling water, getting water, and building the ramp? Vitzricha, why do you need all three cases? The Yeshmina Ner, if you just had the first case of candle, Mishum de Ner la'echa Ner la'meya. I might have thought there, that is allowed if a non-Jew does it for himself. Because we're not worried he's going to do anything more for the Jew if the Jew would use it now, because once you light a candle, the melacha is done. You don't light a bigger candle for more people to use it. Ner la'echa, ner la'meya. Avomayim, but in the water case, ligzar, maybe, even if the non-Jew did it for himself, maybe I should have a gzera that the Jew shouldn't be able to use it afterwards. Domasi lafushi bishvu Yisrael. Because maybe the guy will see this, and then Memeila, he'll say, hey, maybe my friend needs more, and he'll do more. He'll do more malach avrim. Kamash Milan, you don't have to worry about that. If the malach was done for the non-Jew, the Jew's allowed to benefit. V'kevish lamali. So what about the third case? Why do you have to have the case of the ram? Maisa dergum liyav azkenim kamash Milan. No, they wanted to show you that this is really halach lamaisa. They wanted to bring a story to show you that the rabbis relied on this, that if an non-Jew does malach for themselves, it's mutter for the Jew to benefit, and therefore quoted that third story. Tana Rabban. If a non-Jew gathers grasses to feed his animal, right, rips them up from the ground to put it in front of his animal, machal achar v'yisrael. Again, a Jew could go over there and put his animal there after the guy does it in order to get for his animal. But if the non-Jew did it for the Jew, it is usur. Like in the Mishnah, if he fills up water for his animal, the Jew could use it. So now this is the chiddush of the Tana Rabbanan. When do we say these halacha applies that if he did it for the himself, the Jew could benefit afterwards? She'ein makiro. If the non-Jew doesn't really know and is not good friends with the Jew. Avo makiro usur. But if they're makir each other, so then it's usur even if it was done l'chora for the non-Jew. Why? Because Rashi says, the havamina at this point of the Gemara is that we have to assume that it was also done for the Jew. even though it seems like it was done for the non-Jew, but if he knows you and he knows you're there and he knows, you know, you would also appreciate it, so then it is also usur. So says the Gemara, Eini, is this really true that this first question is on the first half of the Brisa. Is this true that a Yisrael could put his animal there after the non-Jew feeds his animal? A person is allowed to put his animal in his field on Shabbos in order to, you know, pick to graze in the field and eat. But a person is not allowed to put his animal in front of freshly cut stalks on Shabbos, because there's a worry that you might come, Rashi explains, that you might come to bend down and help your animal eat the stalks, and those are muksa. Where it's still attached to the ground, it's kind of counterintuitive. But where it's still attached to the ground, we're not worried that Jews are going to violate an issa daraisa. They're going to go and they're going to rip the grass off from the ground, do the malach of kotzer, and give it to their animals. We're not worried that Jews are going to do that and forget. But if it's already cut, and it's just sitting on the floor, and it was freshly cut today, that we're more worried about. So there's a gzeira drabanan to put your animal in front of freshly cut fodder on Shabbos. So it says this is a question on the previous Tanur Rabbanan. Because the previous Tanur Rabbanan said as long as the non-Jew cut it for his own animal, the Jew is allowed to go in and his animal could eat the leftovers. So what do you mean? I thought you're not allowed to do that because we're worried that the Jew is going to pick up the muksa himself. So my answer is no. The koimla ba'apa va'azlihi va'achla. Right. No, you're right. The case of that is mutter is that if the Jew kind of just guides his animal to go in, but he doesn't stand next to his animal when his animal eats it. He eats it by himself. But you're right. In the chinami, if it was right there, we would have a gzeira and it wouldn't be allowed. Okay. Omar. Interesting idea here just from the Chazon Ish. There's a question. So what does this Gemara say? That if you're allowed to put your animal into the field, an animal will graze and eat. Chazon Ish discusses when is it called that the animal is doing malacha for you on Shabbos and when not? Let's say plowing. How do you plow, at least in the olden days? You plowed, you sat in a wagon, you said to the animals, giddy up, or whatever you say, and the animals do the malacha. They pull the plow, they pull the shears, but it's called, that's plowing, and that's malacha daraisa. Well, that's your animal doing the malacha? You don't have to plow with your own thing and dig. Regular plowing, how they plow, you animals, you sit on the wagon, you sit on the plow, you go. That's the malacha daraisa plowing. So in that case, the animal is as if you're doing it. So what about here? The animal's eating, and you're like causing it to eat. So when is that... When do you say that when the animal does the malacha, it's like you're doing it and when not? And the Chazon Ish here in Lamed Vav Aleph talks about the following case. What about Bezman Hazeh? Well, let's say many plows are just set up in the field, and what does the farmer do? You press the button and it goes. So says the Chazon Ish, you know what? That would be the malacha daraisa plowing today. You're just pressing a button, you're not doing anything. The answer is, this is the normal way of plowing. And anything in the normal way, if you usually use a machine and you press the button, that's the malacha daraisa plowing. If you usually use an animal, that's the malacha daraisa plowing. He says, that's dekol charisha vazriya chashiva giri delay umaisav. Like the Nemuka Yosef writes in by fire. That's the Nemuka Yosef of Baba Kama. The Ot Iker Charisha Vizriya Nasai De'ashor. Vein Adam Roach Rak Noitzes Yaseda Achreisho Machziko. That's Darko Bakach, and that's the Iker Malacha. But he says, but what about the Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Chav Beis? So he says that wouldn't be the case. Because here, the Iker, you don't usually feed your animal by ripping up the stuff. He always does this. He has it doing it himself. So therefore, it wouldn't be called as if you're doing the malacha. When it's a malacha daraisa, that you use the animal in order to do the malacha, so then that's called your malacha, and therefore that would be the malacha daraisa. But if your animal is just grazing, even though he's actually doing a malacha, but he's not doing something for you as your extension, so therefore, it would be mutter. So that's just an important ha'ara about general machines and pressing buttons and putting malachas going on Shabbos, even though you might say, I'm just pressing a button. But still, if that's the normal way to be done, then Chazon Ish says it's still us. Weiter. Omar Mar. We just had the statement of Amed Ramarm Shein Makir Makir Asr. We just had a statement that even if a non-Jew does it for himself, but if he's Makir, if he's a friend of the Jew, so then it would still be Asr. Because we assume, Rashi explained, that he really did it for the Jew also. Rabbi Gamliel Makir Rahave. It said in our Mishnah that Rabbi Gamliel was on the boat with this non-Jew, and the non-Jew made the plank for him. Right, so the way Rashi explains, if they were on the boat together, they knew each other. They didn't take boat rides for like 2 days in those days. They must have been on the boat for a couple of weeks. Right, so then why weren't they makibros? How could Rabbi Gamliel do it? Two answers. Abaya Amar Abaya Shalobafan of Havei. Either Rabbi Gamliel wasn't around on the gang, on the on the top when he was making the plank. He must have been somewhere else in his quarters, and therefore he didn't know. So we can assume that he didn't know, that he didn't think he was doing it for Begamliel. Rabba Amar, no, even if he was standing there, Ner Lecha, Ner Lameya. Rabba says, Chiddush, even if it's Makiro, even if the Jew and the non-Jew, if the non-Jew knows the Jew, it's still going to be mutter if it's the type of malacha that it doesn't make a difference how many people you're doing it for. The non-Jew is doing it for himself. He's not going to build a bigger ramp if the Jew wants to do it. It's the same malacha. And Makiro, now Rashi here says, it's changed. It's not that we're worried that he did it for the Jew also. But the question is he going to do more? And therefore, we say he's not going to do more, because it's Ner La'echa, Ner La'meya. So it's two answers. The question was, how could Rabbi Gamliel allow it and use it? Isn't it Makiro? A, Shaloba Fanav. Or even if Makiro, it's still Mutter in a case of Ner La'echa, Ner La'meya. We're worried that the Chashash here is the non-Jew will do something for the Jew. So, aren't we, but you're asking Alice yesterday that we mentioned that a non-Jew is always acting l'daite for himself. So again, but here in this case, even if he does it for both, there we're saying he's also acting for himself, and that was enough. But you're right, you have to know. Sometimes the Gemara assumes that he's good for himself, sometimes he's, right, what's the umdana, what's the Chashash? It's a good question. Good question. Okay, so ask the Gemara two questions on this. Meisvei, Abel Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, in the Tosefta, when the Tosefta, right, the Tosefta, Bryce, and Mishnah are all from the Tanaim. When the Tosefta quotes this story, it quotes it in a little different way. Amal had Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel said to his friends, "Hoel v'shelo b'faneinu as oneiribo." Since we weren't here when he made it, let's go down. Which seems to be a raya to Abaya, because Abaya says shelo b'fanav. So Mari answered, "No, ema hoel v'aso neiribo." No, it's take out the word b'faneinu. It means since it's made, let us go down. So that could even fit into the other opinion of Ner Lecha Ner Lameya. Tashma, another question, says that in the Mishnah in, see on the side, Machshirin. Get to do some Seder Taurus today. Tashma, Irshi, Yisrael, Benachrim, Darin, Besocha, a city that Jews and non-Jews live in together. V'haisab Americhat, Samarchetz, B'Shabbos, and there's a bathhouse. We'll get to a very halachal ma'isa case in a minute. There's a bathhouse in the city on Shabbos. Imrov, Benachrim, Mutter, Lechos, B'Miyad. If most of the city is non-Jews, and we could assume that the people who warmed up the waters on Shabbos did it for the non-Jewish population, because that's the majority, then a Jew could go in right after Shabbos and use the water, because this was a malacha that was done primarily for non-Jews. Im rov Yisrael, but if most of the population is Jewish, and therefore we have to assume that they warmed up the water for the Jews to use on Motzi Shabbos, then yamte b'chlei she'eichem u'chamin. So you have to wait the amount of time that it would take in order to warm up the water on Motzi Shabbos. So it's not considered benefiting from the water. So what do you see from here? That if a non-Jew does malacha for a Jew, let's say it's a Makiro case, even though, Rashi here explains, even though you don't warm up the water differently, depending on how many, you warm up the bathhouse. So it's like a case of Ner La'echa, Ner La'meya. It's like a case of you do one malacha, so why should it be Usser? Even if it's Rov Yisrael. We just said, even if it's Makiro, even if he's doing it, but if it's Ner La'echa, Ner La'meya, it shouldn't make a difference. It should still be Mutter. You don't do more malacha. So Gemara says, no. Hasam ki mechami adaita d'ruv mechami. No, there, it's a case where they're specifically doing it, because that's the Jews of the Rov, they're specifically doing it for the Rov. It's not like they're doing it for the non-Jews, and we're not worried that they're going to be Mosif. No, if it's Rov Jews, they must be specifically doing it for the Jews, and therefore you have to wait. Tashma, a similar case, let's just finish because it's the same type of case. Ner hadolik b'masiba, if you have a candle that's lit in a gathering place, in a party place, imrov nachram mutter l'shamish la'or v'imrov Yisrael aser. Mefsa mefsa aser, the same type of case. Here you have a candle, and it says, rov Yisrael is aser, why isn't it ner la'echa ner la'meya? The Gemara gives the same answer, hasam nami ki midlchi adaita derub midlchi. No, they're lining it for the rov, and therefore it's still a problem, even though Ner La'echa, Ner La'meya. Again, the Ritva here asks, they're the same exact case. Why do you need the case of the Ner after you have the case of the candle? So he says, you might have thought that after you have the case of the water. So he said, no, you might have thought that it's, he brings a chil. He brings a difference. Maybe we'll mention it if we have time. Period. Somebody had a question. Yeah.
An apartment building where you have like lighting engines where
you can use these both. An apartment building, but that's talking about where you're turning on the water. Right, when you turn on your sink, so you're turning on the water. But the question is, by apartment buildings, there are other heterim. Again, you have more coolers using the hot water in an apartment building, because you can assume maybe the hot water, the boiler downstairs, you know, is being warmed by all the non-Jews in the building. But that's where you're doing it. We're talking about here where a non-Jew is doing malacha. There's an important Me'iri on this line, though. The Me'iri says, where he's talking about Rov Yisrael, Rov Nachrin, the Me'iri says, but not all majorities are equal. If you're pretty sure that the malacha was done for a Jew, even if they're a minority, right? It doesn't even if you know the malacha was probably done for a minority, still it is going to be usur. Interesting. Somebody asked me last week. They heard, which makes sense, comes to the top right now. Right, the Dunkin' Donuts here is owned by a non-Jew. That's how they can be open on Shabbos. It's owned by a non-Jew, but it's still under the VAD because it's owned by a non-Jew could do malacha for himself on Shabbos. But if it's a store is owned by a Jew, then they can't. It's very difficult to get a hechsher. Owned by a Jew and open on Shabbos, there's a very, very sticky situation. But let's say he's owned by a non-Jew. That's fine. You have to have a mashgiach. Let's see what's going on. Once in a while, he'll go in on Shabbos also. Right? But the issue is, what about going into Dunkin' Donuts right after Shabbos? So the people in Dunkin' Donuts probably know that they're going to get a mob on Motzei Shabbos from Jews. And what's the rove population that goes to the Dunkin' Donuts in a from community? It's rove Yisrael. I mean, it might be rove. I don't know. Even in this area, is it rove Yisrael or rove Nachram? I'm not so sure. But either way, I was thinking that on Shabbos afternoon, when they're baking all those donuts, because they know Motzei Shabbos is going to be a big time for buying. Of course, they're baking it for the Jews. But they know that all the Jews are going to come on Motzei Shabbos, even if in general, right, this is like this, that Meiri, that if there's an Umdana, if you could figure out for sure that they're going to be doing it for the Jews, then you got to wait enough time after Shabbos that they could have baked the donuts, whatever it is. It doesn't take so long to make donuts, half an hour, whatever it is. But again, that's a case where this issue would come up. Interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan here talks about, what about, he says that in his day, they used to do a Ha'arama. He says, I remember when I was younger, this is in Reish Ayin Vav Tes, he says, I remember when I was younger in the winter, nights, when the nights were long and the candles used to go out early, and then we still wanted to have candles in the house. So he writes that we used to ask, V'karon la'enu Yehudi l'sholo, Ritzon chashit sinsenes yesh, you want a cup of schnapps? We'll ask our non-Jewish neighbor, you want a cup of schnapps? And the guy, our neighbor will say, sure. And they'll say, well, we can't pour it. It's kind of dark in here. So then they said, oh, okay, great. Then they'll turn on the light, and then you'll give them a cup of schnapps. So that malacha is being done for the non-Jew. Right? It's not just you saying it's dark in here, they're doing the malacha for you. You're going to give them the cup of schnapps. So really, they're turning on the light, so you could give them the cup of schnapps. It's a haram, it's kind of trickery. The Aruch HaShulchan says it's still heter gomer. So what? You're creating the situation. Lamaisa, it's the guy is doing the malacha for himself. He wants the cup of schnapps. It comes out that you're also benefiting from once the light's on. Okay, that's it. But there's a harama that's going to work. Sometimes harama isn't always a negative. There's sometimes the Gemara uses the lashon of marim. If it's circumventing halacha in a way that the poskim are against, obviously that's bad. But in this type of case, if you could get a guy to do a malacha for himself, your ultimate kavana is to get it done for you too. Okay, what can you do? Okay, finally, Shmuel Ikla Lebei Aventur, and Shmuel visited this place. Asahu Nachri Alek Shraga. All of a sudden, the Nachri came next to Shmuel and lit a candle. Ahadjuna Shmuel Api. Shmuel turned around, right, because he didn't want to get benefit from the candle. He thought the non-Jew was lighting the candle for him. Kivan Dechaz Adaisi Shtar V'Kakari. All of a sudden, he saw the guy bring a book and start reading next to the candle. So Amar Shmuel says, Adad the Nachri Hu Adlik. So it must be that he lit it for himself. Ahadjuna Ila Api Gabi Shraga. Because he turned back around and used the candle as well. That is basically a general, again, it's complicated, but al regalachas, halacha lemaisa. If a non-Jew does a malacha for his own benefit, mutter, does it for the Jew, it is us. Again, this comes up all the time by various malachas. You know, it's one of the other issues about getting newspapers on Shabbos, which we'll get to. Again, besides the tzchum issue, that they're bringing it from outside the tzchum. What about doing it for you? People say, they're not, they're not doing it just for the Orthodox Jews, they make thousands and thousands of papers. If all Orthodox Jews cancel their subscriptions to the New York Times, then that would have an impact. And even if not, this person is bringing it down my block and throwing it, taking it in his car and pressing on the gas pedals and doing malacha for me, stopping in front of my house and throwing the paper there. Right, so there's still an issue of a guy doing malacha for specifically me on Shabbos. Again, that's separate from the issue of reading the newspaper, which is an issue of, let's say you have the newspaper from before Shabbos. Are you allowed to read it on Shabbos? Okay, that's a separate issue. But getting a paper on Shabbos is okay, you could call up and say, I don't want the paper on Shabbos. So if it comes, you got to leave it there. Leave it there, read it after Shabbos. What? No lie, they write it on Shabbos, right? There are a lot of different issues that come up with stuff that comes on Shabbos. Two issues. Getting the paper on Shabbos, what if you have a paper from before Shabbos, reading it on Shabbos? So what? What do you mean they don't know who's who? The guy who's driving it comes to your house and throws it to your door. He did malacha for you. He drove down your block, he stopped in front of your house, he threw it. He's doing it for himself. Why is he doing it for himself? He's paid to do it. He's paid to do it, but he's still, and Lamaisa, doing the malacha for you. He has to do it. If he doesn't do this malacha for you, he's going to lose his job. That's true. But he's still doing the malacha for you. Again, there's what? Okay, you're right. You're right. So if a non-Jewish worker in your house, they'd rather be a billionaire, but they have to have a job, so they have to do work. But if they do work for you, they're there, and that they're in the situation. And what they're in the situation, they're doing the malacha. Okay, weiter. Kol HaKelim. Next parak. This is parak Kol HaKelim, which is all about various aspects of muksa, which we had the second half of the third parak of Shabbos. The second half of Kira was about muksa and parak Kol HaKelim. Those are the two muksa main muksa places. Second half of Kira and Kol HaKelim. Kol HaKelim, Nitalam Shabbos, Vatal Soseini Mahen. All Kelim are allowed to be moved on Shabbos and their doors with them. Let's say you have a cabinet with a door that comes off. And the doors also, Afal Pishin is parku, even though they were separated from their Kelim, meaning the doors were separated. B'Shabbos, we'll see whether we're going to erase that in the Gemara. She'en and Domino Dasos Abayis. Don't compare the doors of Kelim to the doors of houses, because the doors of houses aren't able to be moved once they're separated from the house. L'fi she'enam in hamuchan. Because doors that are separated are not muchan, which Gemara will talk about a little more. What's the difference between the doors of a house and the doors of Kelim? Doesn't mean really doors of Kelim, just means covers of Kelim. Why aren't these delassos muksa if they're separated? If they're off their kalim, why aren't they muksas? This is machlokas, very interesting machlokas we've shown him here. The Ran here says that they can still be used for some other purpose. You can put stuff on it. You can still use it for something. The Ritva and others, the Tosas Rid, says no. Maybe it's not usable now, but because it can be attached and used so that it never loses its shame kli. When do we say something's broken and it can't be used, that's muksa. But if something, even in its present state, it's not usable because it can be attached and used, that's not muksa. It's an amazing chiddush. How do you view muksa? If something is roy to be fit back in, so maybe that wouldn't be muksa, right? So that would have big ramifications. What about a button that falls off your jacket on Shabbos, right? We usually assume that's muksa. A button falls off, it's muksa. Okay, you're going to reattach it after Shabbos. It still has a use. You can still say so that chiddush. I'm not saying whether we pass in that way, but either way, that's a different view of looking at one of the limitations of muksa.
It sounds like the screen door that pops off, you could probably
put it back. The Gemara doesn't say here that you can put it back in on Shabbos. That could be bonus. But because it can be put back in, let's say, after Shabbos, so then that it wouldn't be called muksa. So continues the Gemara. Note to all them, Mishnah. Note to all them, you're allowed to take a hammer to break a hammer, which is usually, we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. You're allowed to take a hammer to break open nuts, even though hammer is usually something that you do an Aser Malacha with. You can take some type of axe to cut dates with. You can take a saw to cut cheese with. You can take a shovel to shovel out the figs with. As arachas is a malzeg or mazleg. You can have a pitchfork or a big fork that you use out in the field to give your child food. The Ron here says, because let's say he forgot to do Netilas Yadayim in the morning and you don't have any water there and we're not supposed to touch foods before we do Netilas Yadayim in the morning, so you're going to give him the food without his touching it. That's what the Ron says, why you'd be doing this. Why else would you be giving your kid food on a pitchfork? As a kush, as a cargo, let's go bow. You could use parts of the sewing instrument to insert. Rashi explains, let's say you're like we eat strawberries with toothpicks inside when we're fancy. You put toothpicks inside in order to take. So that's what Rashi says. Let's say you're going to put them in order to use for food. Machet shal yadli tobos a coat. You could use a needle to take out a splinter. Vishal sakayim and bigger needles liftoch bois adelas. To use if you forgot the key, you want to pick the lock in your door, you're allowed to do that. So all that is about kalim, which we're going to talk about at the gym tomorrow. So first we're going to talk about the first half of the Mishnah. Kol hakalim nital and vavel bishin esparko b'shabes. It says that all kalim can be moved. Even though, are we to understand the Mishnah that it's even if they became detached on Shabbos, v'lo mibay b'chol, and not only if they became detached on Chol, but even if they became detached on Shabbos, is that the Chiddush? Meaning, and we have the second line of the Mishnah, and we have that word of B'Shabbos in the Gersa, the Gemara says, no, Adarava, it should be just the opposite. Just the opposite makes sense. There's a bigger Chiddush if they became detached before Shabbos. B'Shabbos, if they became detached on Shabbos, Muchan and Al-Gabe Yavien. They're at least, when Shabbos started, they were attached, so therefore they were considered part of their Av, they're part of the Iker Kli they were considered when Shabbos started. So even if on Shabbos they became detached, maybe we could say, since they're not Muksa when Shabbos started, they're not Muksa because they're considered part of the Kli that they started off with. But if they became detached before Shabbos, when Shabbos started, they were already not part of their Kli, that should be a bigger problem. So the Gemara says you're right. Amar Abaye Hachi Kamer. Call Akelam Nitalin B'Shabbes V'Dalso Seniman. Af Alpishin Esparkel B'Chol Nitalin B'Shabbes. So you're right. The Mishnah means both. Even if it was detached, but you're right. The Chiddush is even if it was detached before Shabbos, still it's mutter because it's still seen in the context of the greater kli that it's usually attached to. This, by the way, is why dalsos habayis are muksa, because a delis to a kli can be called. It never loses its shame kli, and therefore it's not muksa. What about habayis? Habayis is called karka. It's mechuber l'karka. So the deles is called karka. Then it never loses the shame karka. No, it's not karka anymore. So if it once it's attached, it's all mechuber l'karka. So it's karka. But if it once it's not attached, then it's not attached anymore, and therefore it's muksa. Tana rabbanan. Deles shel shiva shel deles shel migdol, a door of shiva table migdol, of these towers or these boxes. Notlin, you could take them off. Avalom machzirin, you can't put them back on. Vishal lo shel tana golim, but if a chicken coop, if you have a door of a chicken coop, lo notlin v'lo machzirin, you can't put them, take them off or put them on. Says the Gemara, one second. Bishlam shel lo shel tana golim. I understand the second line of the brisa, k'svavar keeping the mechari ba'ari ish b'nim mekarka v'sira mekarka. I understand the second line of the brisa, which says that you're not allowed to put the door onto the chicken coop because this chicken coop is attached to the ground. Therefore, it has the halacha of karka, and there's an isser of bona and soser. There's an isser of building and destroying. So when you put the door on, it's building. When you take it off, it's destroying. So I understand that. But these other, the box and the tower, Micah-Savar. So what does the brisa mean that you're allowed to take it off, but you're not allowed to put it back on? If we hold that there is an Isra Bonem by Kalim and Seer by Kalim, which we've discussed a couple of times, we discussed it in Daf Kuf Beis, we discussed it in Daf Ayin Dalet, which we'll see in a minute. We're not going to discuss it with you. So what Mimanasha? How can you have a split where you're allowed to take it off the door, off the kli, but you're not allowed to put it back on? What's the chilik of Noslin of Alom Achzirin? So Gemara says, no. Really, there is an isser, a problem of binyan v'sir b'kelim, which again comes up all the time. Binyan b'kelim. What about Legos? What about other issues? Vishenidlu kamar. It doesn't mean that you're allowed to be notlin. Really, what the Brisa means is that if it was already nitlu, you are not allowed to put it back on. It doesn't say notlin. Change the words. So Gemara, Amalei Rava, Shtei Tshuvas B'davar. Rava says, you can't just do that. I have two kashas. Chad is a notlin k'tani. He says notlin. Don't say nitlu. It's a notlin, right? Number one. Va'od avalom achzirin. My avalom achzirin also says, but you're not allowed to be matzah, which sounds like previously it said something that was mutter. So you can't say that. So elamar rava. Rava said no. Just the opposite. K'savar ein binya b'kelim ve'ein sir b'kelim. Rava said no. There is no problem of binya sir b'kelim, which is me'ikra than what we paskin like Beit Hillel. But I. So why are you not allowed to machzir? You're allowed to take it off because we pass an ain't stira b'kelim. Why are you not allowed to put it back on? Gzeira drabanan, gzeira shemayiska. Because we're worried maybe you'll put it back in with force permanently and leave it there. And therefore what? And therefore what? And therefore what malacha are you going to be doing? What are you going to be doing? Beautiful. If you remember back, Rashi here says Rashi Akadosh. Rashi is the fourth medium line. V'chayev mishamaka b'papish. What's the significance of that, Rashi? If you look at the Ran here, if you look at Tosfos on Daf Kuf Beis, if you look at Tosfos on Daf Ayin Dalet, in those two places, Tosfos in both places says, even though we say ain binyan b'kelim ve'ain seir b'kelim, if you're doing it in a permanent fashion, if you're making the whole kli, there is bone of binyan v'seir b'kelim. Look at this Gemara. Look at Kuf Tosfos brings three different rayas. And he says, that's why Rashi is wrong, because Rashi says there's no binyan b'kelim at all. What does Rashi do with all the Gemaras that Tosfos quotes? Rashi says, simple. It's makab patish. It's not bona. That's Rashi Lushitaso here. Rashi here says, the Chaim Rashi quietly, without making a fuss, Rashi says, the Chaim Yishamakam Apadish. You have to know the significance of Rashi, knowing all the kashas that Tosfos asks on him. Rashi says there's no bone, binyan v'seir b'kelim at all. That's why Rashi here says, it's Chaim Mishum Makam Apadish. Tosfos would say this is bona, right? Because it's Xer Mishum, a case where it might be bone, real bona. Okay, let's stop here. The Hashem will continue tomorrow. Tomorrow is very halakha l'maisa, the history of muksa, when different muksas start. And the Hashem, we will continue. Again, today's shiur was the Zecha Nishmas, Moshe Yecheskel ben Yehoshua. In the future, next Sunday and Monday, daf will be at 7 o'clock. Right, even Labor Day, daf will be at 7 o'clock. And next Sunday, but tomorrow, the Hashem, will be regular time, 6:10.